www.eosworldwide.com/model. The combination of strengthening the vision, people, data, issues, process, and traction components is what makes the real magic occur. This book started from the premise that, whether consciously or unconsciously, successful entrepreneurs have a habit of strengthening six components of their business. And to the degree that you can do so yourself, you will build a great organization. As a result, your frustrations regarding control of your time and your business will diminish. Frustrations about employees will fall away because you will be surrounded by the right people in the right seats. You will finally break through the ceiling you've been hitting. You will transform your everyday business, and ultimately, you will realize your organization's vision. At this point, I hope that you now see that premise is true. As your leadership team works toward implementing these tools, you may have trouble seeing progress. The results won't always show on your P&L right away. In the early stages, you're also going to dredge up a lot of issues that will feel a bit overwhelming. Rosabeth Moss Kanter, Harvard Business School professor and best-selling author of Confidence: How Winning and Losing Streaks Begin and End, once described what she refers to as Kanter's Law. Everything can look like a failure in the middle. Sometimes on your journey, you'll feel like it's not working. When this occurs, I urge you to stay the course. Mastery requires total commitment, and gaining traction requires a complete operating system. Shifting your organization from chaos to strengthening the six key components was the journey to this point. It's now time to take a little pressure off, because achieving 100% requires a state of perfection that doesn't exist. Truth be told, if you can reach even 80%, you will have a great company. That's because the work of managing an EOS company is never complete and never automatic. Just like the task of keeping anything else healthy, it takes nurturing, care, and a maintained routine. Anything you learn from now on regarding running and building a great business will fit into this context, the EOS model. Your challenge will be deciding which ones align with the greater good of your company and which ones don't. Always let your core values, core focus, and 10-year target be your guide. I recommend that you and your leadership team fill out the organizational checkup together at least twice a year to see how you're progressing. This will give you a snapshot of where you are on the journey between 0 and 100%. The goal is that you are always making progress. The real goal is 80% or better. If you're above that level, you have a well-oiled machine with the traction you require. The highest score ever achieved is 88% by The Benefits Company, a 10-person organization that is one of the best small companies I've ever seen. Rob Tamblyn, the owner and a peer visionary, had a vision to create the best service company in the benefits business. Since beginning the EOS process, the benefits company has experienced 30% growth on average every year for the last 5 years. To say that it's gaining traction would be an understatement. Filling out the organizational checkup at least twice every year shows you how you're progressing as an organization. Together with your leadership team, you can find the gaps between where you are and where you want to go. The gaps are issues that go on the issues list. You can then determine if they are a high enough priority to tackle. If so, the solutions become goals, rocks, and to-dos for the coming year. For example, say you rate yourselves a 3 out of 5 on the fifth statement. Our target market is clear, and our sales and marketing efforts are focused on it. You might decide that a rock for this quarter is for the sales manager to redefine your target market, clean up your sales pipeline, and train all salespeople on it. Another example might be that you rated yourselves a 4 out of 5 on the first statement. We have a clear vision in writing that has been properly communicated and shared by everyone. You realize the gap is that not everyone shares the vision, and you have not been sharing it often enough. As a result, you set a rock for the quarter to address several people who do not share the vision and to make a decision on their future. In addition, someone has a to-do to schedule a meeting with everyone to share the vision again and get back on track with quarterly company meetings. Organizational checkup. For each statement that follows, rank your business on a scale of 1 to 5, where 1 is weak and 5 is strong. 1. We have a clear vision in writing that has been properly communicated and is shared by everyone. 2. Our core values are clear, and we are hiring, reviewing, rewarding, and firing around them. 3. Our core business is clear, and our systems and processes reflect that. 4. Our 10-year target is clear and has been communicated to everyone. 5. Our target market is clear, and our sales and marketing efforts are focused on it. 6. Our differentiators are clear, and all of our sales and marketing efforts communicate them. 7. We have a proven process for doing business with our customers. It has been named and visually illustrated, and everyone is adhering to it. 8. All of the people in our organization are the right people. 9. Our accountability chart, organizational chart of roles and responsibilities, is clear, complete, and constantly updated. 10. Everyone is in the right seat. 11. Our leadership team is open and honest and demonstrates a high level of trust. 12. Everyone has rocks and is focused on them, 3 to 7 priorities per quarter. 13. Everyone is engaged in regular weekly meetings. 14. All meetings are on the same day and at the same time each week, have the same printed agenda, start on time, and end on time. 15. All teams clearly identify, discuss, and solve key issues for the greater good and long term. 16. Our systems and processes are documented, simplified, and followed by all. 17. We have a system for receiving regular customer and employee feedback, and we know their level of satisfaction. 18. A scorecard for weekly metrics and measurables is in place. 19. Everyone in the organization has a number. 20. We have a budget and are monitoring it regularly, for example, monthly or quarterly. Total the number of each ranking, 1s, 2s, 3s, 4s, and 5s. Multiply the number of 1s times 1, 2s times 2, 3s times 3, 4s times 4, 5s times 5. Add all 5 numbers to determine the percentage score that reflects the current state of your company. One more example might be that you rated yourselves 2 out of 5 on statement number 16. Our systems and processes are documented, simplified, and followed by all. Seeing this gap, you agree as a team once and for all to make it a goal for this year to finally document your core processes. Filling out the organizational checkup at least twice every year will clarify all gaps, put those issues into action, and ultimately enable you to continue to climb toward 100%. The goal is progress, not perfection. You might feel frustrated because you're not at 88% like the benefits company. Yet success is not based on where you are, but on how far you have come. If you were at 55% last year, and at 63% this year, that's success. The next year you'll be at 72%, and maybe 80% in the year after that. Keep using the principles, and you'll break through. Discoveries, potholes, and delays on the grand journey. Rolling out EOS to your company. Once your leadership team has mastered the tools in the EOS process, it's time to roll out the tools to the rest of the organization. This is best done one tier at a time. At first, introduce the tools only to the people who report to the leadership team. If you're a 10-person company, that would cover everyone. But if you're a 250-person company, you'll go through a couple of tiers before you get to everyone. When rolling the tools out, I recommend first choosing what are known as foundational tools. These are as follows: the VTO, the accountability chart, ROCs, the meeting pulse, the scorecard. The other tools will follow in the order of priority that you establish as a leadership team based on the organization's current state and issues. You can only move at your own speed. Be patient with this process. I originally believed I could advance every company through the process at the same speed. In month one, the accountability chart would be completed. In month two, the perfect leadership team would be in place. In month three, everyone would have mastered ROCs and created a solid meeting pulse. By the end of month six, all processes would be documented. After many years, I have come to realize that this goal is unrealistic. Each company moves forward at its own pace. Forcing it to move any faster could be damaging. Two EOS clients from different ends of the spectrum make this point clear. Without giving names, the first client made two key leadership team changes in the first 3 months of the process. That means he removed two key people from the organization and replaced them in 90 days. That is a blinding speed. The second client took 2.5 years to make the first change on his team, and after 4 years, he has yet to make the second. This is not a criticism. If I pushed him any faster, it would actually be detrimental. He must feel ready to make the decision. In the meantime, the company is still growing at about 8% per year. The other determining factor of how fast you can move is the current state of the company and the number of people in it. It takes longer to turn a large ship than a small one. A 200-person organization is going to take longer to change than a 15-person organization. If you have to turn over 50% of your people, the process will take longer than if you have to turn over 10%. McKinley is a textbook example of rollout. Keep in mind that McKinley is a 700-person company, one of the largest real estate investment and property management companies in the United States. Upon completing our first few sessions, the leadership team went to work on rolling out the foundational tools, VTO, accountability chart, ROCs, meeting pulse, and scorecard, one tier at a time. A full year passed before the tools were understood and implemented by every person in the organization. In year two, they documented, simplified, and trained everyone in their core processes, their common platform, as they called it. Year three saw them rolling out a measurable for everyone and educating each person on how he or she contributes to the company's financial success while tying compensation to it. Each year, CEO Albert Beres defined the right focus for the company and exercise discipline with flawless consistency. 3 years might seem like a long time, but McKinley is a big ship. To see how far they have come in 3 short years is remarkable. If your ship is smaller, you may be able to make the transition faster. One of the fastest companies to roll out the tools was Professional Grounds Services. It's a 100-employee landscape and snow removal company that does large office and industrial projects. It rolled out the foundational tools in less than a year. In that time, Professional Ground Services shared its VTO with everyone, implemented a new structure, removed a key person from the leadership team, gave everyone a number, and ensured its processes were being documented and followed. Nowadays, the company tears through issues with the best of them. It's a true case study in efficient execution. Why it works. The reason EOS works in any kind of organization is that it's based on human nature. The entire system is built around how people really operate. The 90-day world stems from the reality that humans can only focus that long. The to-do list in the weekly meeting is designed to ensure accountability. When people know someone is going to check up on what they committed to, they do it. The VTO is designed to get your vision out of your head and into the heads of others using a simplified approach of answering only 8 questions. This makes it easier for people to see. When they can see it, they will believe it, and it's more likely to happen. Data forces you to give people numbers so you can measure achievement. People relate to numbers because measuring is a natural human tendency. It creates a benchmark. If you create a culture in your sales department of attending 2 prospect appointments a week, people will strive to hit that mark. Setting measurable targets will direct their activity. Core values go to the heart of human nature. Like attracts like. People who are like-minded work well with each other. Different people have different values, but when you meet someone who has yours, there is an instant fit. The meeting pulse forces people to keep the circles connected, as Sam Cupp would say. People need to stay connected. The saying, out of sight, out of mind, is true in any company. If you don't stay connected, you're going to start to stray, and people will start to work at cross purposes. The issues-solving track addresses the natural tendency to avoid conflict, hoping that a problem will go away on its own. It won't, and by giving people a track to follow, IDS, they will solve it and feel better that they did. A single system directs talent and energy in one direction. It gets everyone speaking the same language and playing by the same rules. You move forward more quickly, and everybody wins. The click. At some point in the process comes the big aha moment when everyone gets it. Everything will click for your leadership team. They will see all the pieces of the puzzle come together and clearly understand how EOS is a complete system and why it works. One client, a premier marketing and communications company with clients such as General Motors, NBC Universal, Masterlock, and Stanley, had the big click exactly 1 year after starting the process. It was during the segue in a quarterly session. While discussing what was working, the leadership team shared things such as, issues are being pushed down to the appropriate team and being solved. We are making decisions with our core focus in mind. Everyone is focused on rocks that align with the company goals. And I see how everyone being clear on and following the process is going to lead to better communication, fewer mistakes, and happier clients. That is the moment I live for. It's the light bulb turning on. It will occur anywhere from the first 6 months to 36 months. I never know when it will happen, but when it does, the organization takes off from there. You have to do the work. Don't think that your company will get better simply because you've read this book or attended an EOS session. You'll still need to do the work. You'll need to manage your people, talk to your clients, make tough decisions, and do all of the daily blocking and tackling that goes on inside a business. When Dan Israel of ASI realized after a year into the process that he and his team were suffering from neglecting the process, he shared this analogy. It's like going to the doctor and not taking the medicine, thinking that going to the doctor is the cure. After Dan's realization, they sprang into real, meaningful action and are now generating 3 times the profit as when they started the process. That's not because of me, but because they did the work. Stay committed to the 90-day world. Once you're on track, occasionally you or members of your leadership team will doubt the need for the quarterly meeting. Occasionally, I have to explain to a client why he or she needs to hold the quarterly meetings when everything is going well. At the end of the session, the client always says, "We really needed that." A quarterly meeting is essential whether things are going well or not. You'll need to keep everyone on the same page and make sure you're all on track for your vision by reviewing how you did last quarter and setting next quarter's rocks. If you let a few quarters go by without the meetings, you will end up right back where you started. It's like taking your foot off the gas pedal. You're not going to come to a screeching halt, you'll just coast until you eventually come to a stop. Another common excuse to avoid meetings is that you're all too busy or that things are too chaotic. This is all the more reason to meet. Don't worry about what hasn't been accomplished. You must come together, assess where you are, reset, and take on the next quarter. You will hit the ceiling again. As your numbers start to climb, you will actually feel a difference. You'll start to gain traction and move toward your vision. At some point, though, you will hit another ceiling. When this happens, you have to continue to practice the five leadership abilities. You have to, 1, simplify using the EOS tools. Remember that less is more. When everything is important, nothing is important. 2, delegate and elevate by knowing when you and others are at capacity. 3, predict well, both for the long term and short term, through your VTO, scorecard, and rock setting, and by following the issues-solving track. 4, systemize by consistently managing your core processes. 5, structure your organization the right way using the accountability chart, which continually evolves as you grow. As a result of continuing to hone these five leadership abilities, you will break through the ceiling every time you hit it. Niche retail is a good example. When I started working with the company 4 years ago, it hit its first ceiling at around $4 million in revenue. Last year, it hit the ceiling again at $12 million. Niche retail had to make a few changes to its structure and staff, which involved moving its entire customer service department from Minneapolis to Michigan. It also completely overhauled the finance department and implemented a new IT system organization-wide. As a result, it broke through again and is on track for $18 million in revenue this year. Just like niche retail, you too will grow until you hit another ceiling. If you're willing to stay disciplined and continually focus on the 6 key components, you will break through the next one as well. Bigger isn't always better. As we said earlier, growth for growth's sake is normally a mistake. Being a $100 million company is not all it's cracked up to be. In Good to Great, Jim Collins alludes to the fact that we will never know the greatest company in America because it may be some $10 million business in middle America that doesn't want to be known. You have to ask yourself this. Would you rather have a $10 million company with a 20% profit or a $100 million company with a 2% profit? It's the same net profit with considerably more work at a higher complexity. The answer should be a no-brainer. Don't get me wrong, though. There are great $100 million companies, even great $100 billion companies, but they're the exception, not the rule. Unless you have a really good reason to go to $100 million, why not become the best $10 million company there is? After hitting their next ceiling at around $19 million and 70 people, Tyler Smith and his partner shocked their community, me included, by deciding to shut down niche retail. In a very real, open, and honest interview with Tyler, I learned that the number one reason for his decision is that he felt he was no longer living in his unique ability. He felt the company had outgrown what he and his partner had wanted. They had ridden a wave of ego, hype, and excitement for 9 years, and it had been a heck of a ride. "We were like rock stars at trade shows. It was intoxicating," Tyler says. "We got addicted to the money and the size." As he looks back, he remembers that Niche was supposed to be a lifestyle company, but had grown too fast and they couldn't get out of their own way. Tyler loves technology, computers, and the internet. He found himself with 70 people at the helm of the company in an industry he didn't like and in a role he didn't like. "I realized I no longer wanted to be an integrator," he says. He felt unfulfilled and bored. To worsen matters, our industry was under attack by competitors like Walmart, Amazon, and overfunded new companies. We also got hit with a recession. It was a triple whammy. I don't know what we would have done without the EOS tools on this ride. They're what held everything together. Now, 1 year later, Tyler and his partner have started a new company that he feels put them 100% in their unique abilities. Their company is called Niche Next, and partners with companies to optimize their web sales. "I don't ever want to manage another employee," Tyler says. "I'm happier and more energized, and I'll make more money." The message is that building a great organization isn't for everyone. Being an integrator isn't for everyone. You have to know what you want. In his book Small Giants, Companies That Choose to Be Great Instead of Big, Bo Burlingham illustrates the value of staying small. He shares countless real-world stories of companies that chose to stay small and private. These companies shunned the chance to go public or receive unlimited amounts of money to invest in growth in order to protect and preserve what they'd built. They defined themselves by their passion for their products and their commitment to their employees, customers, and community by embracing a clarity and loyalty to their purpose. Compartmentalizing. With EOS implemented, everything has its place. In other words, every issue, priority, action, or idea that is longer term than 90 days is listed on your VTO issues list. Anything that must be accomplished this year becomes a goal. If it needs to get done this quarter and will take weeks or months to accomplish, it becomes a rock. Any issues that arise during the quarter and must be solved now go on to your weekly Level 10 Leadership Meeting issues list. Issues that are departmental in nature get pushed down to the appropriate departmental meeting issues list. And any that are 1 to 2 week action items go on the to-do list in your Level 10 meetings, creating a simple system for managing all goals, rocks, issues, and to-dos. Same page meetings. When you have a partnership, it's crucial for the greater good of the company, its culture, and people, that the leadership is 100% on the same page. This also applies to all visionary integrator relationships, even if they are not partnerships. When you're not in sync, your people will know it. As with parenting, the kids know when their parents are not getting along as much as they try to hide it. The same goes with partners in business. In these situations, I prescribe a same page meeting. Every month, you meet for a few hours and reconnect the circles. You need to solve all of your issues, share anything that is angering you, and express any concerns. These meetings are not always peaceful, but you will clear the air and resolve issues. The objective of the meeting is to communicate your thoughts, listen to the others' concerns, and solve all issues before bringing them into the business. You must also maintain a united front in front of all employees. Take the example of Todd Sash and his partner, Rich Broder. Early on in their process, I prescribed the same page meeting for them, and they loved it. They have been holding same page meetings every month for almost 4 years now, and their company has experienced explosive growth. If you can't get on the same page, you might want to consider counseling or coaching. This practice is not uncommon, and mediation can be very effective. If you've tried everything and feel there is no hope, it may be time to part ways, although this is very rare. Generally, with counseling, you can get back on the same page, and the relationship will become better than ever. I've had several clients end their partnerships after clarity of vision and accountability and discipline were put in place. Some partners just can't handle what it takes to build a strong company. If you're determined to go to the next level, some won't be ready for the change involved. Such a situation occurred with a new client when the decision to part ways occurred prior to completing 3 sessions. In the first session, it was apparent that the partnership no longer worked. The partners, who we'll call Jim and Tim, wanted 2 totally different environments. Jim wanted to keep the status quo, and Tim wanted to leave its chaos behind and build a solid company. In their second session, the vision was clarified solely by Tim because Jim wanted nothing to do with it. Jim didn't even show up for the third. They had sat down after the second session and agreed to part ways. The partners of a different company realized their diverging viewpoints in the first session, struggled through the second session, and canceled the third session. They consulted their financial people and split up their assets into 2 separate companies. They now run their own companies as sole proprietors. Even more complicated was a new potential client in which the partners were also brothers. When I entered the conference room for the initial meeting, I found only one brother waiting for me. He explained that after the meeting, I would have to meet with the other brother down the hall and go through the exact same presentation. They wouldn't even sit in the same room together. So I did both meetings more out of curiosity than anything else. As you can imagine, we never moved forward and any advice fell on deaf ears. Fortunately, these painful partner situations occur only about 5% of the time. If you're faced with one, follow the same page meeting process. If there is no hope, the answer is clear. Think about the long-term view, and you will see that by separating, you will be better off in the long run. Take a clarity break. Keeping your head clear, your confidence high, and your focus strong are vital in maintaining forward momentum. Most leaders spend most of their time overwhelmed, tired, and buried in the day-to-day routine, unable to see beyond tomorrow. As a result, they don't solve problems as well as they could. They don't lead their people as well as they could, and they're not a good example for them. Great leaders have a habit of taking quiet thinking time. That means escaping the office on a regular basis for an hour or so. By working on yourself and the business, you will rise above feeling frustrated and overwhelmed to a clear-headed and confident state. As a result, when you come back into the business, you will be laser-focused and in the right leadership frame of mind. You can do this wherever works best for you. It should never be in your office. You have to go to a place where your thoughts are uninterrupted. You can do this daily, weekly, or monthly, whichever works best for you. Some clients have a favored place in the morning on the way to work. Sam Cupp would do it 30 minutes in his den every morning. I do it once a week for 2 hours in a coffee shop. I knew a man that would take about a half a day every month at the library, and that did the trick for him. Such free time to think is vital. As Henry Ford said, thinking is the hardest work there is, which is probably the reason why so few engage in it. Take the opportunity to review your VTO, review your plans, read, think strategically, look at the EOS model, or fill out the organizational checkup. What I recommend for someone that doesn't know what to do is to sit with a blank legal pad and a pen. I promise you, through this simple exercise, all of the right thoughts will come to mind. It's important that none of the work you're doing is busy work. This is not an opportunity for playing catch-up. After taking a clarity break, you will come back into the business clear, focused, and confident. You'll be ready for anything. You'll solve problems better, you'll be clearer with your people, and you'll set a better example. When you're having trouble solving a problem, check out for a clarity break. Take a deep breath and put the necessary time into thinking clearly through the problem. To start, pick a 1-hour block of time next week. Block it out and do it. If you wait around for the right time to appear, it never will. It must be an appointment that you schedule with yourself. Give it a try. Just do one. I have yet to have one person tell me that it was a waste of time. You might be wondering where you're going to find an hour. The amazing paradox is that the hour you spend will save you more than an hour later due to the clarity that it creates. You end up being much more efficient and effective. Shiny stuff. When the business is really humming and on track, you may get a little fidgety and start to get distracted by shiny stuff. This mostly happens to visionaries. Here are two discipline strategies to keep you focused and engaged. First, find a challenge inside the business. Focus on your acres of diamonds. Put your energy into something that is going to perpetuate the existing vision. Dive into cultural projects that will boost the core values in the people. Experiment with some new products or services in line with the company's core focus. Go interview your top clients and really dig into what is working and what is not working for them. Take employees to lunch and ask them the same kind of questions. Test current products and services and make sure they are still relevant. All of these activities will keep you stimulated and further the vision of the company. Second, if you're starting to become distracted by shiny stuff that is outside your core focus and your leadership is supportive, then go explore. You must, however, protect your existing business, making sure the integrator is comfortable with your reduced time commitment. You cannot drain any necessary resources or energy that the current company needs to achieve its vision. If your new business idea is a good one, and it doesn't fit in the current core focus, consider starting a new company with its own resources. Too many times, a new idea is incorporated into the current company, and it's the kiss of death, due to stretched resources such as people, cash, and time. Even when both are great business ideas, they are destined to fail when they do not have the resources they need. StarTrax, a social event company that provides entertainment for parties and events, is a good example. Along the way, they stumbled into corporate event planning, which demands a different clientele, culture, and model. Nonetheless, they decided to pursue it. After flat growth and struggling to run two businesses in one over a 3-year period, they realized it was time to separate the two. The dual-headed company was creating too much complexity and draining its resources. They found an integrator to run the social business, made him a partner, and then separated it. They suddenly had two very focused businesses with an integrator at the helm of each one. StarTrax is now running well and growing. The second company has been renamed Pulse 220 and has grown 40% each of the last 2 years. If you're getting distracted by shiny stuff, choose one discipline and stick with it. The Road to Hana. Some time ago, a friend of mine and his wife visited a major Maui tourist attraction called the Road to Hana. It comprised a long and winding road that, over the course of hours, took them through breathtaking scenery, waterfalls, cliffs, mountains, and beaches. At the end, there was nothing but the small town of Hana, with one gas station. When they finally arrived, my friend's wife was very upset. She said, "We drove all of this way for this?" She missed the point. The road to Hana is about the journey, not the destination. Don't make the same mistake with the EOS process. The journey of building a great business is not about the destination at all. Of course, you want it to be highly profitable and generate wealth for yourself and others. Yet along the way, you need to enjoy the lives that you'll touch. You need to get excited about the value you'll create for customers. Enjoy the pure pleasure of playing the game of business. And be able to take pride in the self-perpetuating system you've built. Once you have created a business that doesn't require you to crank every single gear, an entity all its own, you'll have more freedom for yourself. The journey should be enjoyable. If you're racing to get to the end of the journey, you'll be sorely disappointed. By embracing this journey-focused approach, you're going against the grain of what most believe is right. As a result, it's hard to understand the truth. As Tal Ben-Shahar, Ph.D., states in his book, Happier: Learn the Secrets to Daily Joy and Lasting Fulfillment, society rewards results, not processes, arrivals, not journeys. The irony is that if you're able to fight society's pull, you will then enjoy all of the journey's rewards. My closing on all my correspondents is, stay focused. If every person could just do that, they would be happier and more successful. We live in a world that inundates us with information. There is so much shiny stuff that it's hard to concentrate. If I could leave you with one message, it's that. Stay focused. As for what to focus on, that's your decision. It all starts with answering the 8 questions. Chapter 10, Getting Started. At this point, you're probably eager to put these tools to work in your organization. To help you get the fastest results in the shortest amount of time, I'll outline the exact process that I use to implement each EOS tool with our clients. Ultimately, these will strengthen the 6 key components. The objective of this book is to teach the 6 key components and the tools that will strengthen each of them. It's written in a specific order, using the EOS model, basically top to bottom and right to left, in an attempt to keep the learning and understanding as linear as possible. While this is the best way to write this book and create understanding, the most effective order of implementation of each tool is different. The objective of this chapter is to provide the exact steps in order. Following this process has proven to be the most efficient way to get the fastest results. Keep in mind that you can implement them in any order you choose, but I highly recommend you go straight down the list. After hands-on implementation with over 120 companies personally, and an additional 300 with our team of implementers, I've learned the most effective way to proceed. I will first share the tool in the sequence, and then the reason for that order. I won't get into the specific how-tos, as they're already explained in the earlier chapters. You've learned a total of 7 main tools in this book, with an additional 12 secondary supportive tools. Each stands on its own, but when they're combined, you have a complete and holistic system for running your organization. As I've mentioned before, I suggest you implement each of the following tools only within your leadership team first. Make sure you and your leadership team have mastered them before rolling them out to the rest of your organization. Any chink in the armor of your leadership team will show up as a gaping rip to the rest of your people, so this step is vital. Once your team has fully embraced them, I'll show you how to introduce them to the rest of your company. The 7 main tools are listed in the order of recommended implementation, along with the 12 secondary tools that go with them. 1. Accountability chart, which includes People Analyzer and GWC. 2. ROCKS. 3. Meeting Pulse, which includes IDS, Level 10 Meeting, Quarterlies, and Annuals. 4. Scorecard. 5. VTO, which includes Core Values, Core Focus, 10-Year Target, Marketing Strategy, 3-Year Picture, and 1-Year Plan. 6. 3-Step Process Documenter. 7. Everyone Has a Number. Accountability Chart, which includes People Analyzer and GWC. Begin by creating your accountability chart. The reason we start here with every client is that the chart goes to the root of most issues. First, you need to take a big step back and determine the right structure for your organization. Then you can put the right people in the right seats. Through this initial strategy, you will smoke out any people and accountability issues that are holding you back. When complete, you'll have absolute clarity on who is accountable for what. If this tool is set in place before you apply the remaining tools, they'll be much more potent and effective because you'll have created a world of accountability. For instance, with a completed accountability chart in place, you'll draw up your VTO with your leadership team with a more complete, realistic vision and plan for your organization. Without an accountability chart, you won't know who clearly owns what. In this environment, teams tend to shoot a little higher, and there's less productive discussion and debate due to increased bravado and lack of true ownership. Rocks. Once your accountability chart is complete, you should move to the second tool, setting rocks. Once you know who is accountable for what, you set better rocks. You want your team to evolve toward setting and achieving great rocks every 90 days. The other reason rocks are the second tool to implement is that it focuses your team on the most important priorities quickly and gets you to work on accomplishing them. The reality is that the first time around, you will set mediocre rocks and only achieve about 50% of them. This has been historically accurate for over 10 years with our clients. Within 2 or 3 quarters of setting and achieving rocks, though, you and your team will become experts at rock setting and achieving, accomplishing a minimum of 80% collectively each quarter. Meeting pulse, which includes IDS, Level 10 meeting, quarterlies, and annuals. With your accountability chart in place and your leadership team laser-focused on their rocks, the third tool to implement is the meeting pulse, specifically the 90-minute weekly Level 10 meeting. This new habit is a bit uncomfortable at first. You'll probably take 4 to 8 weeks to really become comfortable with it. Still, the tool forces your team to single out what's important every week and start solving the right problems. Implementing the weekly Level 10 meeting relies on the proper use of one of the secondary tools, IDS. The Level 10 meeting forces you to use this tool to identify, discuss, and solve all relevant issues. This will help you gain immediate traction. As for your quarterly and annual meeting pulse, you simply start those based on where you are in the calendar year. Scorecard. With momentum building, the fourth main tool to implement is the scorecard. You need to develop your scorecard into a powerful predictive tool, a process that takes 1 to 3 months. Soon, you and your team will have an absolute pulse on your business. During this developmental process, you will create real accountability as you identify the right activity-based numbers to measure and clearly identify the person who ultimately owns the number. This will create instant results and ownership. VTO, which includes core values, core focus, 10-year target, marketing strategy, 3-year picture, and 1-year plan. The first 4 main tools create a strong foundation of traction, accountability, and a platform from which to execute your vision. That leads to the 5th tool, the VTO. One of the secrets to the EOS process is that we always start with traction first, and then vision. This means that we first build a strong foundation for execution with the first 4 main tools, then we build the vision. Frankly, the vision work is relatively simple when there is little or no discipline and accountability. Without a nuts and bolts foundation, devising a vision is easy. That's why it's so fun for many consultants who spend their time doing 2-day strategic planning sessions. Doing the tough work of putting a strong foundation of accountability in place leads to much more intense and productive planning work. You can have great discussions of what the right plan is for the organization because your people are now being measured and held fully accountable for the objectives of the company. Still, a question I'm often asked is, how can you create an accountability chart and set rocks before you know what your vision is. The truth is, most organizations have a pretty good idea where they're going already. After all, they're not exactly starting from scratch. The real questions to ask are these. How are you going to get the best bang for your buck with these tools? Where will you get the most impact in the shortest period of time? What I've learned over the last decade with over 400 companies is that this approach is it. The EOS Foundational Tools. The Accountability Chart, ROCS, Meeting Pulse, Scorecard, and VTO are known as the EOS Foundational Tools. Implementing them into your entire company produces 80% of the results. As you expand the use of these tools, it's important to introduce them one tier at a time until each person in that tier understands and embraces them, just as we did with the leadership team. Every company moves at its own pace. Our fastest client, a 50-person organization, rolled out the foundational tools from top to bottom in 6 months. In contrast, our slowest client, a 70-person company, needed over 3 years. Neither is bad or good. You can only move as fast as you're able to absorb the changes. A good rule of thumb is about a year. Also, a larger company will take longer than a smaller company. By the same token, a company with more tiers, layers, takes longer than a company with less. To date, our smallest client has 3 people, and our largest has 1,700. One important note for companies with multiple locations. It's vital that the manager at the off-site location fully embraces and understands each foundational tool before rolling them out to the next tier in his or her location. Many times, leadership team members need to be present at locations to help teach, guide, and show support for the tools. So if you have multiple locations, it adds an inherent level of complexity to your organization. It's just the reality of your business model. Accepting this reality is the first step to solving it. Plan on spending the necessary time at these locations until full implementation is achieved. This additional time can be achieved through physical visits, conference calls, and webinars. All have worked well with our clients, and every company is different in terms of which approach works best. 3-step process documenter. When you have the foundational tools fully implemented in your entire company, and everyone is clear and has bought into them, the next step is documenting and training your core processes using the 6th main tool, the 3-step process documenter. This is typically a 6 to 12 month process, including documentation and fully training everyone. One additional note is that some clients do begin implementing this tool prior to full implementation of the foundation tools. A simple rule of thumb is that if you feel you're on track with the implementation of the previous tools and your leadership team has the capacity, then go ahead and overachieve by getting a jump start on implementing this tool. Everyone has a number. The 7th and final main tool is that everyone must have a number. With most of our clients, this is the last domino to fall. While a highly effective tool, without the first 6 main tools in place, it's less effective due to a lack of follow-through that stems from a lack of accountability, discipline, and strong management. However, with a strong foundation in place, everyone having a number in your organization gives you increased results. Ongoing implementation and reinforcement. Once the 7 main tools are implemented, along with the additional 12 supportive tools, it's important to know what ongoing implementation, reinforcement, and management look like, because getting your head around all the tools at once is a lot and can get overwhelming. Here's a snapshot. Imagine all of the above-mentioned tools fully implemented. Every quarter, you're in a full-day quarterly session with your leadership team, resolving all issues, reviewing last quarter's ROCS, and setting next quarter's ROCS, getting better and better at it every 90 days. Every year, you participate in a highly effective 2-day annual planning session, challenging every aspect of your VTO, and putting a rock-solid plan in place for the coming year with everyone on the same page. You're hiring, firing, reviewing, rewarding, and recognizing all of your people around core values and using the People Analyzer for all people decisions. As your organization grows, you're making the necessary evolutionary changes to your accountability chart, always focused on structure first and people second, ensuring the right people are in the right seats. You participate in a weekly Level 10 meeting with your leadership team, reviewing your scorecard to assure all numbers are on track. You review rocks to make sure all priorities are on track. You're solving all relevant issues for the week. As a result, you're executing well as a team. In addition, each department is doing the same. Every 90 days, you deliver a quarterly state of the company meeting. That keeps everyone in your company on the same page, sharing the same vision. Each person is setting and achieving his or her individual rocks. Your company is growing. You're achieving your goals and building a great company. This picture can be achieved. It's just a matter of implementing each tool in the order in which I've laid them out for you in this chapter. If at any time you get stuck, don't hesitate to reach out to us for help. This has been an Audible Inc. production of Traction, Get a Grip on Your Business, written by Gino Wickman, narrated by Kevin Pierce, producer Mike Charzik. Copyright 2011 by Gino Wickman. Production copyright 2012 by Audible Inc.
This audiobook production was distributed by Brilliance Audio. For further information concerning this program or other Brilliance Audio titles, please call the following toll-free number, 1-800-222-3225. Or visit our website at www.brillianceaudio.com. And please visit Audible at www.audible.com to discover over 150,000 titles available for download. No part of this recording may be played for an audience or reproduced in any form. It may not be streamed, downloaded, broadcast, or copied without written permission. Address all inquiries to Brilliance Audio, P.O. Box 887, Grand Haven, Michigan 49417.